If you will, turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, Luke chapter 1, among other things, includes the announcement of, to Mary, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to begin in verse 35. She's already been told that she'll be the mother of Jesus. And she has asked how that's possible, seeing that she knows not a man. And in verse 35, the angel answered, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." She's the mother of John the Baptist. Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That's very important. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now there's other things that she said, but we'll stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to be here gathered today. I'm thankful, Father, that some of our family could be here, and I'm thankful to see these families that are gathered together, and thankful so much, Father, to have the opportunity to preach a text today that I believe you've laid upon my heart. On this particular occasion, it's often a little bit difficult to know exactly what to preach, but it's never difficult for you to know. And I'm thankful today, Father, by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit within us, we can take assurance that we have something here today, Father, from the Scripture that'll be an encouragement and also a challenge. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will work in such a way that you accomplish with this man and with this message what you desire to do with your word for all these that are gathered here today, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, here you see that the Bible is telling you a little bit about what happened and a little bit about what Mary said when she found out that she was going to give child as a virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the meeting with Elizabeth, her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist, and you see even the reaction of the babe in the womb when Mary comes in. And then Mary has some things to say here. In verse 38, she says to the angel, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," she says, "be it unto me according to thy word." She says again in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And in verse 47, she says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, one thing to make sure you understand from this text is, the Bible says she is the mother of my Lord, or the mother of Jesus. And oftentimes what has happened is that she has been worshipped as the mother of God. But God obviously preexists. And so the honor, the blessing that comes to her, it comes from the fact that the Lord brought forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from her womb and considered her to be the one who would have this honor, but at the same time, this grief. Because as you know, her son would grow and eventually be killed and crucified. Nevertheless, when we read this passage of Scripture about the mother of Jesus, she gives us an excellent example of what mothers should do. And so that's why we have this text today. Now, there are probably a lot of things that could be said about her based upon these things that we've read and other things that we could read that she said that day and other things that happened during her life. But for the simplicity of this message today, we'd like to concentrate on the three things that I pointed out to you after we read the Scripture and prayed. That is, that she said to the Lord, "Be it unto me according to thy word." that she said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and that she said, My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Because those three things characterize something that every mother here today could do by following this example. First of all, we see in verse 38 that she submitted to the Lord. She submitted to the Lord. She said, Be it unto me according to thy word. Now you have to understand something. In her submission to the Lord, you may be thinking, Wow, what a great privilege and honor to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got to put it back in the context of the day in which this happened. By that I mean, she is a virgin. She is engaged to be married to Joseph. And customarily, she is to wait until their marriage to be joined. Now she shows up pregnant. How do you explain that to people? How is she going to be able to explain to people, Well, Joseph and I, well, we haven't been together yet. This happened because the Holy Spirit has given me this child. You think people would find that believable? They have a hard time believing that today, even though it's written down and even though it was prophesied in Isaiah. How do you suppose they would possibly believe it in her day? That wasn't a reproach to her. That was an honor. She left when she found out was going to happen to her and went and stayed with her cousin for a period of time because they're ashamed of that. When Joseph found out about it, he didn't know what had happened. He was ready to put her away and do it privately rather than openly because he didn't want to humiliate her any more than she'd already been humiliated. He knew that he wasn't the father of the child. The only thing that he could assume is that she was having this child by another man, which wouldn't have been a happy occasion for Joseph, of course. And so he was ready to put her away until the angel came and said to him, Wait a minute, no, we're doing this. She's fine. You need to be with her. And then he kept her. Listen, this is a reproachful situation. This is not an easy thing for her to have to bear, and yet she submitted to the Lord. She didn't know what she was getting into when she submitted to the Lord because there were a lot of things that happened with this boy. She has more children by Joseph later, according to the Bible. There are four boys and at least two other girls. The boys are named and the girls are not named. It just says, and his sisters. So presumably two, at least two. And so with a family like that, the Bible says as he goes into his ministry, his brethren didn't believe in him. And so she's got to put up now with discord in the family. The older brother has six siblings at least that are against him. Now it didn't stay that way, but she had to endure that. And you'll remember that when Jesus is dying on the cross, he says to John, Behold thy mother. And he says to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And you know what? Evidently at that time, Joseph is now dead. She is a widow with six children and a seventh hanging on a cross and everybody out there booing and jeering her son who in her own heart she knew was trying to do right and they thought he was doing something in the power of the devil. And she had to endure not only the grief of the loss of a son, but the grief of the nation turning against her son and having him die naked by crucifixion. You see, with all of that, and she submitted to the Lord. Mothers, I'm going to tell you something. The life of submission, I believe, if it's characterized anything close to what Mary has to go to, is not necessarily a fun life. It's not fun. I supposed to have to submit and be in subjection unto a husband. I know me. I wouldn't want to have to submit and be in subjection to me. I've been rebelling against myself ever since I've known me. What an awful thing. And yet there is a life of submission there. Listen, when your children are born, mothers, there is a life of submission and work for the children. I know that you're the parent and that you're in a leadership responsibility with your children. I recognize that. But I learned something when our children were born that really shocked me. My wife and I married and we were the love of each other's lives and we had sparkle in our eyes and we got to do things together. And I thought, boy, this is just the most fabulous way to live. And then a baby came. And all I can say is it wasn't fabulous anymore. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but the reason I say that is this. The motherly instincts took over. And in the motherly instincts, all of that affection that was mine, 100%, had been reduced. Not to 50%. Not to 25%. Somewhere between minus 10% and zero. And I felt real bad and jealous about that for a pretty long time until I realized this was all necessary for those babies. I look at them today and seeing that they've grown up and see that they're doing well and they're holding their responsibilities and all those things. I thought to myself, wow, this is quite remarkable. What all is involved in a mother that has to do that work for the sake of her children. A teacher was teaching in elementary school, primary school, I think they called it. She was teaching a science class, a basic thing to her students about magnets. And after she had taught them the properties of magnets and showed them how they picked up all these things and so forth, she gave them a little quiz as a review, as a refresher on what they learned to make sure that they could remember it. And one of the questions was, give me a word that starts with M that has six letters that picks up things. Half the students put in mother. Not magnet. I was thinking about that word, mothers. You know what mothers is? That word? It's others with a capital M. Your life just changes, and everything you do is in submission to the Lord and in submission to your husband and in work, if you read Proverbs chapter 31, for all of these children. No matter what situation you find yourself in, like Mary, who found herself in a lot of situations that she obviously didn't expect here, she submitted herself. And I would say to you, the same thing is true. You submit yourself to the Lord. Listen, a lot of times what happens is that there's this headstrong resistance to your lot in life. I can say safely, based upon how Mary lived her life, if you will recognize, as Jim Benny said when he was here and said so astutely, that your submission is not to those things, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will make it more beneficial for you to recognize, I'm not submitting to that old goat. I'm submitting to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through him. You can amen there, ladies. I know your husbands. First of all, she submitted to the Lord. Look again with me in verse 46. The Bible says that when Mary found out and heard this proclamation from Elizabeth, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Doth magnify the Lord. Notice, please, that she did not magnify herself. The fact that Mary has gained the high recognition in churches that she has today and the high blessedness that she has today is more the work of men than it is the work of God, and it's certainly more the work of men than it is her own work. She said, I'm not magnifying myself. I'm magnifying the Lord. I'm not magnifying myself. I'm magnifying the babe that I'm carrying and the things that he will do. And we didn't read all those things, but if you keep reading beyond what we read, she starts talking about all these things that the Lord is going to do through this child. He's going to do great things, mercy on them that fear him, strength with his arm, scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts, put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree, fill the hungry with good things, the rich hath he sent away empty, hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And then she abides with Elizabeth 3 months. She's magnifying him. If she said, it's not about me, it's about him. And it really is, she magnified the Lord. You know what? She didn't magnify her children. Now, he, Jesus, is her child and magnifies him in this capacity. But you know how it is with mothers. You're so proud of your children most of the time. And certainly if somebody else is talking about them, you beam, you know, whenever they have complimentary things to say. Of course, they don't see what goes on in your house, you know, after dark when it's not always the same way as it is out there. She magnified the Lord, not her children. She magnified the Lord, not herself. You know what the Bible says when talking about husbands and wives? The Bible describes a situation where a woman is in subjection to her husband, but the husband is not in subjection to the Lord. He's not following the Word. And he says to the woman in such a case, he says, the way to deal with him is with chaste conversation. The word conversation in the Bible not only deals with what you say, but it also deals with what you do. In other words, a woman may not have much to say, but if she is slamming pots and pans around in the kitchen, you might get the idea she's not happy. If she's stomping through the house, you might get the idea that something is wrong. If she's got this face on, that look, when she sees you, she sees the kids, and she's like, oh, an impression, baby, and turns to you. Ugh. She doesn't have to say anything. Those kinds of behaviors let you know something's not good here, and I think I might be the cause, or at least involved somehow. Okay, those things are all conversation in the Bible. And he says, while they behold your chaste conversation, that is, all those things are in reserve. And he says that there is a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Those things, the chaste conversation and the meek and quiet spirit, I know it's a full-time job. Those things are, the Bible says, what reveals the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. In other words, she's magnifying the Lord. Ladies, today, if you're saved, you have inside of you, resident in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And those days where you are so mad at your husband or so mad at your children, you are wondering why you got into this mess. There is Jesus Christ inside of you, and if you will magnify Him, He will allow you to be able to approach every situation with a meek and quiet spirit and a chaste conversation and reveal Himself. And I'm going to tell you something. When people who know you see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. When a woman submits to the Lord and she finds herself in a difficult situation in her marriage and she says, you know something though? I made these vows and I'm going to ride this thing out and I'm going to let God deal with it. That's a huge price. And when she magnifies the Lord, when everything else in her says, I'm going to strangle that fool. I can tell by your smiles it's crossed your mind. More than once. And rightly so. You can magnify the Lord. That's what Mary did. You know, you don't see Mary running through the streets, pounding on the chests of the Roman guards. You don't see Mary pounding on the chests of Pilate and the governors. You don't see her beating on and screaming at and reviling the chief priests and the elders who sentenced Jesus. She's just standing there at the feet of Jesus, watching this take place and magnifying the Lord. You see, it's a very difficult thing to do, but I'll tell you something. On this Mother's Day, when you magnify the Lord and it's the hidden man of the heart that comes through and not those other things, the impossible is seen and the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ are demonstrated. They are the most awesome testimony to your husband and to your family that could ever be given. I say to mothers, magnify the Lord. If truly with God nothing shall be impossible, may I say to you, that the best person in the world for you to talk to if you are asked to have a meek and quiet spirit and a chaste conversation is to the Lord Himself. I believe this with all my heart, that when a mother comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in the sadness and heaviness of her heart over something concerning her family, either her husband or her children, and she has allowed the hidden man of the heart to be revealed by magnifying the Lord, She can privately take her request to the Lord God and get a special ear with God Almighty. An ear like children do when they come with those little requests. The request of a woman who honestly recognizes there is something that needs to be done. The man of this house is not doing it. The children are not doing it. I need you to do it. And I believe God hears those prayers. How many times have we read illustrations of mothers who at crucial times in the life of their families have gotten a hold of the ear of God and have caused things within the family to change in a way that she could have never done had she stomped and screamed and hollered and grabbed somebody by the hair and said, "I don't love you, I hate you." It's crossed your mind. It's okay. We know it has. Get a hold of God. Magnify God. Magnify the Lord. Why? Because He can do things you can't do. He can handle situations you cannot handle. I've got illustration after illustration in my office of mothers whose children were soldiers who were carried off to a battlefield in some foreign land and at a very precise time on a very precise day were awakened in the middle of the night, knelt beside their beds and began to pray earnestly for the safety of their children, only to find out later it was at that same time on the battlefield or that same time in the Navy that something very, very serious was happening and God intervened in a very special way and saved that soldier's life. Not all soldiers survive war, I understand that. But how many times mothers have intervened and the miraculous has happened? I say to you, ladies, submit yourselves to the Lord and magnify the Lord. That's what Mary did. And it was very, very beneficial for her. But that's not all. The Bible says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She submitted unto the Lord. "My soul does magnify the Lord." She magnified the Lord. But not only that, let me say this. "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She rejoiced in the Lord. You know, when you read through the Bible and you start out there in the book of Genesis, a very strange thing happens. You see God and all of the creation. Then you see the formation of man and his dominion over animals and the formation of his wife from a rib. And Genesis 3 shows up and suddenly the devil appears as a serpent and tempts Eve to disobey God, to eat fruit that was forbidden to the family. And she does and he does, and afterwards the Lord shows up. They both hide, and then the Lord begins questioning Adam. "Did you eat the fruit?" He said, "The woman that thou gavest me, she gave to me and I did eat. It's your fault and her fault." Mainly hers, but yours too. And he says to the woman, "Did you eat it?" And she said, "Well, the devil made me do it." It wasn't original with Flip Wilson, if any of y'all are old enough to know who that is. And so he curses the serpent to crawl on his belly. Then he turns to the wife and he says, to Eve. And he says, "Your sorrow is going to be multiplied. And in sorrow, you shall bring forth children." In other words, he says, "I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception." That's one thing. And then he says, "When you bring forth children, you're going to bring those forth in sorrow." And you know something? Every mother that's here today, you've experienced that sorrow in a multitude of ways that I won't describe. Some of them I will, but the curse multiplied the sorrow. And you know something? There are times in your life where you have found it very difficult to be happy about anything. And of course, that's distressing for all of us because the old saying goes, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. But I want to tell you something. There are times when the sorrow reaches so deep into your heart and so deep into your bowels and so deep into your head, we can't make mama happy. There are no flowers. There's no kind sayings. There's no chocolates. There are no cards written by Hallmark that can reach that sorrow deep down in your heart. But there's one person I know who can, and that's the Lord God. And that Bible right there said she didn't say, I'm going to sorrow in the Lord or sorrow in God my Savior. Although Mary had lots of sorrow, she said, I'm going to rejoice in God my Savior. And I'll say to you this as an example for how you should be, as an example of what you can do. You can rejoice in the Lord. I'm thinking right now about a situation that's happened recently to us. When Lizzie and Ori announced their engagement, I very calmly said, I don't plan weddings, I plan marriages. Oh, doesn't that sound so noble? And so I said, we're going to have Bible studies from time to time, and we're going to do some marriage counseling, premarital counseling. I said, now listen, Lizzie, I'm your father. Ori, I'm going to be your future father-in-law. You probably don't want me doing this. Premarital counseling with you. You probably want somebody else like Randy to do it. And Randy said, Amen. And Lizzie and Ori said, no, that's fine. And we've had some wonderful Bible studies, haven't we? I'll tell you, it's just been fabulous. But somehow or another, those wedding plans have spilled over. And I've got some of them now. I guess I should say I'm involved more than I want to be and probably more than I should be. Well, because of all that we do here at the church and all that's going on and the wedding's only a couple of weeks away and all that kind of stuff, I found myself a little stoked up these days. I'm just warning all you dads. It's possible. The spring is wound a little tight. When I heard about a long-range shooting deal, I was wondering if we could schedule it next week. And move that trip to Fredericksburg up to the week after that. And I'll just see y'all here at the wedding. Now, what's the point? I'm going to tell you what the point is. The springs are wound tight. People that have been married for 34 years play off of each other. And it is easy to take what should be fun and make it hard. It's easy to take what should be fun and rejoicing and turn it into a discussion. Heated discussion. I might add. And this morning I got to thinking about something and I thought, you know something? We are supposed to be enjoying this. But more importantly, I thought about the Spirit of God and I said, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I realized something. I thought, you know something? I'm not rejoicing in the Lord. Somebody needs to do that. And I realized something as I thought about what Mary said and thought about you. A lot revolves around you in the household. Rejoice in the Lord. You say, but I can't with this situation that's going on here. Rejoice in the Lord. Listen, because He is always a cause for your rejoicing. You say, well, what in the world can I find to rejoice about in the Lord right now when I consider what my children are going through? Not every mother here today will be accompanied by her child or children because some have made up their minds to go do something else. And today is a sad day, not a happy day, because the children aren't here. May I tell you something? God is. He didn't go anywhere. He won't forsake you. And I'm going to tell you something. He is a great cause for rejoicing. Why? Because He can comfort you when you take time to put those prayers up before Him. May I tell you something? He loves your child. And I'll be so bold to say, as much as you love your child, He loves your child more than you do. And He also knows your child even better than you do, even though y'all are so joined, that they occupied the womb of your body for 9 months. He knows them better than you do. And He knows just how to get a hold of them. And you can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. As a man said, when they're little, they step on your apron strings. And when they're older, they step on your heart strings. but they don't have to steal your joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Why? You say, well, I want to put on this sad countenance. I want them to know they've hurt my feelings. They've hurt your Savior's feelings too. And I've never seen that face of hurt do anything but create more misery, even for those who've caused the pain. But I have seen the rejoicing of the Lord be so attractive that Mother Magnet, it even has a tendency to draw the wayward back home. Rejoice in the Lord. Home is always, what is that? They say home is a place of happiness. Well, it can also be a desperate place of sadness. Many, many tears have been shed in at home. But may I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ is right there to comfort you through every tear shed. Rejoice in the Lord. Haven't you ever cried and after the tears have had their mollifying effect on your cheeks and your spirit has been lifted a little, sometimes you have a giggle and a little lightness because the weight of that sorrow is gone? The Lord's there. Yes, you say, but we're having financial troubles. The Lord is there. We're having marital troubles. The Lord is there. He hasn't gone anywhere. He won't forsake you. Rejoice in the Lord. Listen, He's there for your provision. He's there for your protection. He's there for your companionship. He's always there. I believe the Lord understands better than anybody in the universe a mother's heart, because the Bible says He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But right before He went to the cross, which was the most difficult thing He had to endure in His entire life on this earth, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross? And mothers, there's joy set before you in spite of what you have to endure. And I'll tell you something that I've learned. You are not physically designed. You are not emotionally designed. You are not spiritually designed to carry the weight of that sorrow by yourself. You cannot do it. And so what the Lord has given you is rejoicing in the Lord like He gave to Mary, that allows you with a lighter spirit. She said, my spirit shall rejoice in God my Savior, to help you carry that load. The Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You say, but I'm sad. And He understands that. And I don't believe the sadness will go away, but it can be mollified with joy in the Lord. Nehemiah and them faced a very desperate trial to try to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem when they were being ambushed and attacked and every other kind of opposition to finishing that wall. And he said to the Jews, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You cannot carry the load you carry in sorrow and sadness. It will overwhelm you. It's too much weight. Your backpack is too full. What you have to do is you have to dig in there deep where he says, like Mary did, and find that place of rejoicing in the Lord. Because it's there. And what will happen is it will cause that weight to ease. It'll cause that tension to relax. It will cause your hope to build. God's going to do something in the midst of this sorrow. He has grace to strengthen you in your time of weakness, comfort to strengthen you in your time of sorrow, faithfulness to listen to your prayers and intervene on your behalf. Rejoice in the Lord. Mary did. She submitted herself to the Lord. She said, Lord, I believe you know better how to do this than I do. I'm the mother here, and I think I know how this thing ought to go. But you know what? I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust you. I think you got a better plan. She magnified the Lord and never allowed the troubles of the day to become the great things. I love it when you come to somebody and you say, how you doing? And they say, I'm well, when you know it's not well. And they can say, I'm blessed. And it's not cliche, because God's really doing something in their lives. And they can smile, though you know their eyes are bloodshot from tears, and say, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. That's what Mary did. That's what I recommend to you. Let me just finish by saying this. In verse 47, she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in," watch it, "God my Savior." She was not born without sin in that she said, "I need a Savior." God my Savior. My Savior. Mothers, I'll say this as we close. She was saved in spite of who she was. You would think if anybody in the universe could have gotten a pass on this thing with salvation, it would have been Mary. If God would choose her to carry His Son, you would think, by all means, she has to be the greatest of all women to do that. In her humility before her own cousin, she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in," listen, "God my Savior." She didn't pass on an opportunity to recognize this right here is the Savior of the world, and when He completes salvation, that's my Savior. Jesus Christ, that's my Savior. The angel told her, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And she said, "I'll take that." If you're here today and you've not been saved by Jesus Christ, you ought to follow the example of Mary and make Him my Savior. You ought to receive Him and put your faith in Him and be saved. You say, when? Just like she did, at the first opportunity to proclaim it, she claimed Him as Savior. At the first opportunity to receive Him, you ought to believe in Him and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You today, and I pray, Lord, that You apply the verses of Scripture to the hearts of the mothers today. Submission's not easy. Magnifying the Lord's not easy. Rejoicing the Lord can be trying. But I pray, Father, that every mother here will surely put her faith in You to do those very things that Mary did. Father, also pray today with those that are gathered here, we may actually have somebody that's not saved. We didn't preach the gospel today, but we preached all those wonderful things that the Lord does through lives of mothers. I pray today, Father, if there's a mother here that has not received and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that today she will, like Mary, humble herself before You and take Jesus Christ as her Savior. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm simply going to say this. Mothers, if you're here today, some woman's here today, some man's here today, and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, when I finish preaching and Bobby comes to lead you in singing, I'm going to go to the back of the church while we're singing. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, we need to show you from the Scripure how to do so. It's not hard. It doesn't take long. It's just something that needs to be done. And today is a great day to do that. I'll meet you back there, and if you're a lady, I'll have a lady accompany you back to my office, and she'll show you how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Since I've preached, if you'd like me to be there with you, I'll be glad to. If you're here today, a young man, a man, and you need Jesus Christ, just meet me back there. We'll go, and you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can see for yourself how to be saved. Father, bless this invitation as You will for Jesus' sake. Comfort the hearts of these mothers with these words for Jesus' sake. Amen.